This is Bill Messerly with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, a special Frontline of Hope update with Bishop Robert J. Brennan, Bishop for the Diocese of Columbus, for Tuesday, the fourth week of Easter. Welcome again, Your Excellency. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Thank you. Glad to be talking with you today.
You know, as we progress during this Easter season that will end at the end of this month, May, on Pentecost Sunday, we talk about the importance of sharing the gospel and having that as an act of love. And you referenced that this morning on conversations on discipleship with Father Adam, the act of love of sharing the gospel.
That's right. You know, evangelization, when you think about it, the sharing of the gospel is an act of love. We're taking our greatest gift, our most prized, I don't want to call it a possession, but our most prized treasure, and sharing it with somebody, that's love. And certainly we see that in the early church, but we also see it here today.
In that early church, they were sending out some reinforcements and kind of struggling with how to do this.
Indeed. Again, we're reminded that they didn't sit there and decide to go. They were scattered by persecution, and some of those early disciples went into different areas they didn't expect to go, and they found in Antioch a reception there, and people of real interest who wanted to know Jesus Christ. And so they sent for reinforcements, and the apostles sent Barnabas. And remember his name. Barnabas means the son of encouragement. So Barnabas is sent out to Antioch, and he saw the grace of God at work. He saw that the Lord was bringing people to come to know Jesus Christ, and he saw his role as encouraging that. So, yes, indeed, those early Christians scattered by persecution, it was a bad reality that ended up becoming a tool for great evangelization. But what did they do? They did it with love. They shared their greatest gift, and then Barnabas comes to encourage, to lift them up. And you see, that's Antioch, the great line. It's in Antioch that they're first called Christians, that the disciples are called Christians. They're associated with Christ, you know, and that fits with the call of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We hear his voice. We're formed together as a family. What makes us Christians? Being connected to Christ and sharing his good news.
Well, speaking of good news, we have three candidates for the priesthood this year, Deacon Frank Brown, Deacon Michael Fulton, and Deacon Seth Keller. They were originally scheduled to be ordained on May 23rd. Where does that sit right now?
Well, we have a new date that we set. It's Saturday, June 13th, and so I'm looking forward. Actually, we're going to make that a great weekend on Friday the 12th, I'll be ordaining Jacob Stinnett, who is one of our seminarians at the Josephinum. He'll be ordained a deacon, as well as another deacon candidate named Emmanuel, who is from a diocese in Rwanda. His bishop was supposed to come to ordain him in May, but that's not happening either. So the two of them will be ordained on May 12th. And of course, we already have Deacon Stephen Andre, who was ordained up at the St. John the 23rd Seminary in Boston. So he'll be coming back actually very soon and begin to minister here in the diocese. But the three current transitional deacons will be ordained priest on Saturday, the 13th of June. So Friday evening will be our diaconate ordination. Saturday morning will be our priestly ordination. And the plan right now is to do it here at the cathedral. We looked about if we had a bigger venue where people could space. But the streaming capabilities and hopefully St. Gabriel Radio actually help us to make it a very wide ecclesial event.
And last year was your first ordination here in the Diocese of Columbus. This will be your second.
Indeed, it was my first ordination ever. You know, and so what a beautiful movement it is. Moment rather. It's just very, very powerful to be able to share that gift that Christ confers upon his church, to be able to bestow, if you will, in the name of Christ, the gift of the Spirit. And, you know, I'm so proud of the fellows who were ordained last year and the great work that they're doing. And I very, very much look forward to our ordination here. So, you know, we have some very good and very talented men who are in formation. And so, you know, Sunday was a good, we call it Good Shepherd Sunday, but it's also a day of prayer for vocations. And so, you know, let's use this week to pray for vocations. I'm glad you brought them up, the ordinations, because it is a chance for us as a diocese to pray for those whose ordinations are coming up soon, and pray that this time of very proximate preparation may be for them very intense, and get prepare them well for that encounter with Christ through holy orders. And so we pray for them, but let's pray for all of our men studying for priesthood at the Josephinum or at St. John the 23rd. And also, as long as we're praying for vocations, one of the things I just keep discovering, every once in a while there's a new surprise, but the number of women who are entering into consecrated life, and even men who are entering into other religious communities who come from this diocese, it's staggering. I'm always finding a surprise. So that, I think, there's something very good happening here in the church in Columbus that's inspiring young people to hear and the community to foster the call of the Lord.
You know, sometimes we can't see the benefits of our diocese because we live in it. You have seen some of the benefits of this culture of vocations in the Diocese of Columbus. What advice do you have for lay men and women as we help the young men and women at least know that God does call souls to a consecrated life? Do you have any practical advice for us in how we approach the young persons in our life?
Well, I think one very important thing for young people is that it be an option. You know, they don't have to commit when they're very young. They don't have to commit in high school. They don't even have to commit in college. I mean, somewhere along the college, you're making your life choices. But if it's an option, at least be thinking about it, because then you've left the door open for the Lord to speak to you, and then trust that the Lord will guide you in the right direction. Secondly, I think it's very important to encourage people, young people, to see the good work that is done by our priest and religious. It's very important for young people to see us appreciating the work of the church, and why it matters for us that there be a new generation of leaders in the church. So one is to recognize, to encourage rather the young people themselves, but the other is to be aware and to notice, and vocally to notice the good things that some of the priests and religious are doing right in our midst, and to value that. So those send very important messages to the young people, you know, that because that's really what attracts somebody to a religious life, right? Mm-hmm. Or any kind of a vocation. First of all, this is important. You know, when you're a young person, you look and say, this is an important work. Two, I think I can do it, and I think it would make me happy. So those are the things we want to put out there for young people to be able to consider. And then it's the work of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bishop Brennan, you've talked so eloquently about extreme charity during this COVID crisis. Today we have that opportunity for extreme charity, not only in our patients as we are still waiting to be gathered together as a community at Mass at the end of this month, but there's a way to give today. It's called Giving Tuesday Now. Catholic Social Services, many of our Catholic organizations, high schools, etc., are asking Catholics to step forward and support their causes. Would you like to say anything about the Giving Tuesday now?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, first of all, I have to confess, until you brought it up in our preparation, I wasn't really cognizant of it. I haven't been following that, although I did get an email from one of the organizations this morning, so I didn't know if it was singular to them or if it was an actual movement. So glad to hear it. I'm very glad to hear it. And of course, we do want to encourage generosity and charity. I think that these days, the needs that are around us become more acute, and so we notice them a little bit more. So if we have this opportunity, if this gives us an opportunity to respond, all for it. I'm all for it. And yes, I've used that term extreme charity, and really I mean it from the point of view, as you said, of the sacrifices that you and I are making right now. And let's be honest, these are real sacrifices, not coming to Mass and the distancing. These are real, real sacrifices that all of us are carrying. But we do it with a sense of charity and a sense of love, because we want to protect the whole of society, and particularly the most vulnerable. So that's where the phrase comes from. But of course, part of extreme charity is being attentive, recognizing need, knowing that people are suffering, being in solidarity with them, and seeing what we might be able to do to respond. So that this is a wide open kind of opportunity for extreme charity.
And Bishop Brennan, would you like to end our segment, Frontline of Hope, with a prayer?
Of course, of course. And in these days of Easter, especially in these days of May, we turn to Our Lady, the Queen of Heaven, and with her we rejoice in the resurrection of her Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia. For the Son whom you merited to bear, alleluia, has risen as he said, alleluia. Pray for us to God, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia, for the Lord is truly risen, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And may Almighty God bless all of you who are listening, and all your families, keep you always in his love, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Bishop Brennan, thank you so much for sharing your encouragement and love during your Frontline of Hope update today, Tuesday, the fourth week of Easter, and now we rejoin our regularly scheduled programming already in progress.